I appreciate that. Appreciate having good staff members that love the Lord, have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love your brother and great message. So good to see all of you here today. It's always great to be in the Lord's house, always in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Amen. Secondly, if you would, just a shout out to all the mothers and congratulations. We love you. What a tremendous unit. You know, the family unit's a very powerful thing. It's the first thing ordained institution that God created and put here on earth. We just thank the Lord for our mothers, and just a special thank you to all of you. What a great group of ladies up here today, I love it. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs, if you will. You know, as I sat and pondered on Mother's Day and knowing that the Lord's Day would be here, and if you've been to several Mother's Day, you know, what do you preach on Mother's Day? It's a day to honor our mothers, our grandmothers, and those that are really special and close to us. But I kind of pulled back a little bit from the scripture, or from thinking about that and thinking, you know, I wonder what God thinks about mothers. Did you ever think about that? What does God think about mothers? And I thought, well, Rick, that's pretty simple. Just, it's in the scripture. Just look at it in the Bible. So we're going to take a look. I've been studying a lot here lately in the book of Proverbs and reading through some things in Proverbs. And so this morning, just for a few minutes, we're going to take a look at what does God think about things here in Proverbs in relation to mothers. So I titled the message this morning, The Wisdom of Our Mothers. The Wisdom of Our Mothers. And sometimes I don't think we learn to appreciate that until maybe they're older in life, or they're maybe gone, maybe the Lord's taking them home to heaven, or you're kind of out on your own now and you're raising your own family, and you look back and you think, you know what? Mom was pretty smart after all. And she had a lot of wisdom. She had a lot of insight. Grandma had a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom. I remember as a child growing up, we only had two children in our family. I had one sister, but my mother, she had nine children in her family, so we always met on the family farm every Sunday afternoon. Really, all nine of her children, their spouses, and every family probably had two to six children. And they had a little four-bedroom farmhouse down in Hickenville, Ohio. And so we all gathered at the farm just to, Grandma was upset if you didn't show up at the farm every Sunday afternoon. She was just thoroughly upset. She put out a spread of food, and everybody would come in. She was in her heyday when everybody come home on Sunday afternoon. And that's where we learned to fellowship. That's where we grew together. That's where we bounced ideas off together. And I could just watch my grandmother. She just loved it. Her eyes lit up when the kids come home, the grandkids come home. What a special time as I reflect back and think about that. The wisdom. My grandmother passed away at 94, and I remember the day that we buried her, and I thought, there we buried a lot of wisdom. Put in that ground a lot of wisdom. So you mothers, I take my hat off to you. I don't have a hat, but if I had a hat, I'd take my hat off to you, for all your wisdom, your insight. But here's what God says, some interesting things about mothers, and I think it's some good things for us to reflect on here today. You know, when you look at the book of Proverbs, it's really, the Proverbs is written by Solomon. The word proverb itself literally means to be like. So Proverbs is really a book of comparisons between the common, the concrete images of life and what's the most profound truths. I'll tell you what, you can never spend enough time in the book of Proverbs. I would encourage all of our young people, if there's one book in the Bible, all you that are still in school, in high school, in college, maybe in that group that's 14, 15, on up through maybe 25, probably the most important book you'll ever spend time in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. It teaches you so many real-life things and things that you can take and glean on in Proverbs that you can cling to, we're going to take a look at today. And I got to looking, so I went through Proverbs today, and I identified that there's 14 places, just 14. Now, this is going to be a short sermon, but I'm not going to, take long to do this. But I wanted to point out today that God had 14 references to mothers in the book of Proverbs. So my curiosity got the best of me, and I thought, well, I wonder what God thinks about mothers and why he wrote those and why he put them in Proverbs and how can we glean for those. So these Proverbs, they're simple, they're moral statements, they're illustrations that highlight, and they teach you and I about the fundamental realities of life. Proverbs gives you and I general wisdom literature. It gives us insights into the Solomon as the author, so it gives us insight to the royal court of Solomon, as he writes. And Solomon's mother was Bathsheba, David's wife. And so it also offers you and I instruction on the tender relationship of a father and a mother with their children. all designed to produce mediation or meditation on God. And so it's that third category that I want to focus on here this morning, is the instruction between the tender relationship with a father and a mother and what God says about that relationship in the Scripture, and how God looks at things from a mother's perspective and the insight that He gives us here. So mothers, as I said in Proverbs, mentioned 14 times, and we want to take a look at that. So we're going to take them kind of proverb by proverb. So look in Proverbs 1, and if you have a Bible there this morning, I'd encourage you to take it, and you might want to chain references, and beside the first text, you might want to write the next one so you can kind of walk your way through the Bible on this. If you don't have a Bible, there are pew Bibles there in front of you. I encourage you to take one. Take it home with you. It's a gift from our church family to you. If you'd like to have a Bible and you don't have one, feel free to take that home with you. But the first proverb that I want to share with you is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. And Solomon writes, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." So here we see in this first proverb, the instruction of thy father. And I thought, what an interesting way to start out. The way God starts out in this text is the responsibility that not only as we talk about mothers today, but the responsibility that falls on us as fathers to instruct and to teach and to be spiritual leaders in our home and to teach our children, especially the principles and the things of the Word of God. And so we find here, we as fathers, we have a biblical responsibility to teach our children, most importantly, to teach them about God, and to teach them about our relationship with the Lord, and to teach them biblical principles in the Scripture. Fathers, that falls upon you and I. But he connects that to this verse, and it says here, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." So the first proverb we see here with mothers is, what you've been taught, your mother is a wise lady. The things that she has passed on to you, the things that she's given to you, the thing that she has taught you from birth up, the Bible says, forsake not her law. Hang on to her teachings. Hang on to those things. And like I said, sometimes we really don't appreciate that until they're gone. And then we look back and we say, my, you know, how wise they were and how valuable that was, and the things that they passed on. So God says in the Bible, forsake not the law of your mother. Forsake not the things that she teaches you, the things that she brings you up in. Forsake that not. Take that with you through life and carry that on your journey. So in other words, don't forsake the things that your mother taught you. I challenge you, give you a little homework assignment. On this Mother's Day, take a little time today somewhere to go back and say, gee, what did my mother teach me? I don't know about you, but I begin to think about a long list of things. And all the way from the cradle to up through life, as your mom comes along beside you and teaches you a lot of different things. So you might want to think back and reflect on that. And whatever that is that your mother has taught you and passed on to you, the Bible says, forsake it not. Hang on to that. Cherish that, what your mother has taught you and what she has given to you. So that's the first line of thought that Solomon passes on to you and I. Look in chapter 4. And you might want to write in your Bible beside Proverbs 1:8, Proverbs 4:3, because we go to the second text that Solomon says. And he says here in chapter 4 and verse 3, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. In the eyes of mothers, let me say this again, in the eyes of mothers, children can do no wrong. Well, sometimes they do. But I'll tell you what, don't cross a mother and her children. You'll find out real quick where she stands. And so in the eyes of mothers, children can do no wrong. They're proud. And so no matter what your children do, in the eyes of the mother, yeah, they may not be perfect, and they may do this wrong or that wrong or whatever, but they're still your children. And you still love them, and you birthed them, and you gave them life. And in your eyes, they're special. And God says here in the Scripture, they're special. So in the eyes of the mother, the child is tender and special. And so don't mess with a mother and her children. The bond is very, very, very strong. Amen, mothers? Amen. And so don't mess with that. And so be wise in how you handle that in life. Let's look at the next proverb here, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Solomon goes on and he gives us this verse. He says here, My son, keep thy father's. Now he comes back to fathers again. Keep thy father's commandment. But notice how he changes now. And forsake not again the law of thy mother. Solomon comes back and repeats a little bit of this. And again, keep your father's commandment. Fathers, we as have responsibilities as a father, as a grandparent, to be teaching. Life is always about teaching and training and giving and passing on knowledge that we have. And so that's not fathers or grandfathers barking out orders in the family home. That's teaching. That's bringing them along beside and teach. My father, taught me many, many things down through life and that I'm very thankful for. And I can make a long list of things that my father, there's a certain way to wash a car. I didn't know there was a certain way to wash a car, but there's a certain way to wash a car. There's a certain way to wax a car. There's a certain way to work in the garden. There's a certain way to prepare the ground. There's a certain way to plant the seed. There's a certain way to take the weeds out. There's a certain way to reap the harvest. My father come along beside me, taught me a lot of little things a long way in life. And it says here, fathers, we're to teach our sons and our daughters and to teach them. And so keep the father's commandment, teaching. And that's not sitting in the recliner, barking out orders and say, hey, son, do this, and do this, and do this. You know, that's teaching. That's showing by example and leading the way and showing this is how you do that. This is how you do it. And especially from a spiritual standpoint, this is how the most important thing, you walk with God. That's one of the things that we should be passing on to our sons and our daughters is how do you, as a father, walk with God? You walk with God, you got a greater percentage of your children walking with God. You walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love Him and model that and portray that and put that in front of your children, you have a higher possibility that your children will also walk in that same path. But Solomon says here, then forsake not the law or the teaching of your mother. And you know, teaching, is it not really mothers? Today I think I could get a hearty amen on all this, that teaching, especially children from birth as you begin to leave, is a 24/7 process, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week after week after week. Amen. Amen? It's 24/7, constantly around the clock, and being able to be there, and so to teach, and so teaching what? Teaching things on manners, relationships, or how to bathe, or how to dress, or how to take care of yourself, or how to cook, or how to clean, or how to have devotions with the Lord, how to shop, how to handle money, et cetera, et cetera. I could go down, I could take a list, and the mother of our children, Chad, Jeremy, and Chantel, my wife, I take my hat off and salute her for all the things that she has taught. She has taught our two sons and daughter how to shop. I hate to shop. My body starts going in just pain and agony as I pull into the parking lot at the mall, and it's like I just don't want to be here, but I'm here because I love my wife. I want to go, but I'm going to find the first bench, and I like to people watch at the mall. You guys ever do that? And people watch at the mall. So my wife, all three of our children are frugal with the dollar. They know how to wisely spend. They know how to. I have watched my wife watch something go on sale and refuse to buy it and wait till it gets marked all the way down to a clearance rack and get a $90 or $100 item for $7. I can't do that. I walk in, I see something I want, and I go in, pay the money, get it, and walk out the door. And so our children, I owe a great debt of gratitude for the things. I remember when our children were growing up, sometimes you think, you teach your children manners and you teach them as mothers and fathers what to do, what to say, how to be polite, how to be courteous, how to be kind, and you do that in public. Sometimes, don't you think, when you get home and it's just your family and it's in your own private doors, you can let your hair down, just kind of have fun, be yourself? Well, we were doing some things with our children. My wife's a piano player, and so our children, I'll never forget, we were at home, we were acting up and cutting up and doing things on a piano bench, and I don't know, they were putting their arms under their armpits and going like this and making all crazy kinds of things. And next thing I know, when Chad and Jeremy and Chantel were real little, we're in a restaurant with a missionary family. And the boys started demonstrating what they had done at home. Embarrassed the fire out of us and said, no, this is not the place for that. You don't do that here. Maybe at home, that's one thing we have fun with at home or whatever. But what you got to be careful in what you teach them, because sometimes, what you teach them outside the home, inside the home, gets carried outside the home in public. And so be wise with what you do, all the way from manners to relationships and to cook. All three of our children know how to cook and cook well. I owe that to my wife. Devotions with the Lord. They had devotions on a regular basis, and I owe that to my wife, and so much that we owe to our mothers. And so it says here, the proverb in Proverbs 6:20 is, forsake not the law, the teaching of your mother. Teaching is a 24/7 process. Look in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. Solomon says here, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Oh my. When you look at this here, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to a mother. These proverbs are based on Solomon's inspired knowledge of the law and the prophets. And this proverb here, this parental grief is mostly deeply felt by the mother. I don't think there's, you know, in the relationship, if a son or a daughter is going through something really deep and heartfelt in that, the mother feels the weight of that upon her shoulders, in her heart and in her bosom, and she birthed that child. And so it says simply here, a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. And some of you have been there, maybe are there now, and realizing here that this proverb, this parental grief, is the most deeply felt by the mother, who plays a more intimate role, I think, in raising the child in that relationship. So she feels the agony, the heaviness when something goes awry, something's not right. And oftentimes, is it not true, women, that you'll find that when something's not right, the mother oftentimes will know ahead of time. I, over the years, it's like God says, and my wife will say to me, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen this year to one of our children. I said, what does that mean? I don't know. I said, well, don't give me that piece of information, not tell me the rest. What does that mean? And she goes, I don't know. I just have an instinct, a feeling, a mother's intuition, a something deep heart, deep down inside, that with one of our children. And I said, which one? And she said, I don't know. So I have to sit on pens and needles and waiting on that discernment to be displayed and trying to figure out, well, what does that mean? And as every family knows, we've had our ups and downs, like maybe you've had your ups and downs, and different things have happened to one child or another along the way. And so when you look at it here, a mother's heaviness, and that's deep heartfelt, and I think God, the Holy Spirit, gives that to our mothers and as we pray for our children. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. You notice on a few of these things, Solomon will repeat himself. He says here, a wise son, in Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father. Boy, is that true. But a foolish man despiseth his mother. Now this presents a little different twist to it, because the word despise here in the Bible means to look down upon. So if you really interpret this, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man looks down upon his mother. And looks upon her with contempt or scorn or even dislike. I would say today, if you're in the sanctuary today and your relationship is not what it should be or where it should be with your mother, if I were you, I would make all means possible to run and to get that taken care of and to mend that relationship and bond that between you and your mother. And what you say, well, you just don't know what she did, or you don't know what she said, or she don't know how she handled this. My friend, life is too short. Whatever it is, doesn't make any difference what it is. Go directly to your mother and tell her, whatever it is, you're forgiven, I'm forgiven, whatever, mend the fence, clear the air, whatever you got to do, and let them know you love them. Life is too short. One of these days, your mother will be gone, you look back and you say, I wish I would have done that. So the Bible simply means to despise, means to look down upon with contempt or scorn or even dislike. And some, you know, it's really a sad thing, but I've seen it in homes and families that where some will get even so serious to where they'll say, I hate my mother. I hate my father. I hate my brother. I hate my sister. Whatever it is, that's a strong word. And so here, Solomon used the word despise. Let's go on to Proverbs 19, verse 26. And Solomon gives us another one, and he says here in verse 26, Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father. Now this is interesting. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. So now it's interesting here, because they say this is really referring to the son who comes into the possession of his father's property or inheritance during his parents' lifetime. Rather than caring for them, he wants the inheritance, whatever it is, the possessions, the assets, the homes, the bank accounts, or whatever, and while your father's still living. And so here he's giving that instruction here. Solomon is simply saying that he wasted the father, chaseth away his mother. In other words, simply here, you know what my thought is on this text here? Wait for your inheritance. If you're going to get an inheritance, wait on it. Don't deprive your father, mother, grandfather, grandmother of what they have worked so hard for and labored for all their life. Your time's coming. Don't rush it. And so simply here, this is really referring to that son who comes into that. Wait for the inheritance. Take care of your mother and your father first. The inheritance comes later, before taking over the assets. Proverbs 20 and verse 20, the next proverb simply says, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Well, this sheds whole new light on it, because here, the lamp shall be put out means this grievous sin will result in death. That's what this text means. We are not to curse our parents. Have you ever cursed your parents? Shame on you. If you ever cursed your mother or your father, shame on you. You ought to go back and ask God to forgive you and ask your mother or father to forgive you. And we ought never to curse our father and our mother. So we find here that your lamp shall be put out. And we are not to curse our parents, but the Bible simply says we're to honor them and to respect them and to put them in the due process of what God says. So you say, well, somebody will say, well, you know, you just don't know. You just don't know what went on in our family. You just don't know what the relationship was. And I realize life presents a lot of struggles and a lot of challenges with a mother and a father and raising a family, and divorces happen and families are split, and alcohol could be involved in it, drugs could be involved in it, sexual issues can be involved in it, and the home can be disrupted for a lot of various reasons. Be wise in what you do and make sure you take the high road as much as possible, and don't curse your parents but honor them. Let God take care of the rest. And so when you look at it here in Scripture, we're not to curse our parents, but honor them and leave it up to the Lord. Proverbs 23:22. Look at that verse. Proverbs 23:22 simply says, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Interesting word. This word despise shows back up. You know, we all get old at some point. We may not like it, we don't agree with it, don't want to be there, but it's our turn, and the decades fly by, and we all get old at some point. So be careful and be wise in what we do. Hearken to your father that begat you and gave you life. And then despise not your mother when she is old. So realizing that we all get old at some point, so don't despise your mother. No, hearken to here in the Bible simply means to give careful attention to, and here's what it really means. Listen to her in her old age. Oh, she's just old. She don't know what she's talking about. And she's, you know, beyond, I'm not going to listen to her anymore. And you just shrug it off. And no, that's not what the Bible teaches here. The proverb teaches simply is hearken to her. Give her careful attention, especially as she gets older. And life sometimes gets more difficult. They start fighting the health issues along the way. They start fighting whatever it is that's laid on their table. And be patient with that as you see the aging process taking place. Proverbs 23:22. Look, though, in chapter 23 and verse 25. The proverb says, thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Simply, as you look at this proverb here, this is really the result of correction, causing the child to make wise choices. How do you get a child to make wise choices? Sometimes it's by correction. It's by teaching. It's also by correction, and this verse really refers to the correction side of it, causing a child to make wise decisions and wise choices along in life, and by doing so, brings great joy to us as parents. So when you think about it, especially the Bible says here of the mother, it brings happiness and joy into their life. Proverbs 28 and verse 24. Solomon gives us this verse here in verse 24. He says, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same as the companion, 28:24, of destroyer. And he that is proud stirreth up strife, but he that putteth trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart, a fool, whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So whoso here, the proverb is, that robbeth his father or mother and saith it is no transgression, the same. This word robbeth here, it literally means to plunder one's own family in an unthinkable crime. How many homes have been divided and split up and caused because some son or some daughter has got into trouble and plundered a crime, done something that is outside the law? And by all means, we need to teach our children, our grandchildren, to obey the laws. God's law, first of all, and the laws of the land are there for a reason, and we need to obey them. So the word robbeth here means to plunder our family, and how many families have been destroyed because crime has entered into the family unit in some way through a son or a daughter. This also means mistreating. It's an example here of a son that appears to come into possession of his father's property during his parents' lifetime, but rather than caring for them, he drives them out. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the next proverb, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What an interesting proverb. The rod and reproof, that's correction, give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Early childhood teaching requires parental discipline, including, I mean, I got many amens on this, but including corporal punishment balanced with kindness and love. Let me repeat that. It requires, and the Bible teaches here simply parental discipline, including corporal punishment, but always balanced with kindness and love. You ever hear the phrase, son, this is going to hurt me more, it's going to hurt you? Or the mother says, this is going to hurt me more, it's going to hurt you. And it just breaks the parent's heart to discipline them. But they know it's right and it's best for that child. So when you look at it here, there's a great joy that the use of divine ordinance of the rod will produce godly virtue and parental joy. Such discipline must have the right motivation and appropriate severity. You say that again. Make sure you understand. The right motivation, appropriate severity. I don't know what your mom and dad family used in our home, in our backyard. We had a willow tree. I hated that willow tree every day of my life. Cursed that God would strike it down with lightning, because I was always sent to the willow tree to cut a willow switch and a green one and a good one, Rick, and strong, and bring it in here and set it in the corner of the dining room. I've had more whippings with that willow switch when I was a kid growing up. The last whipping in our house was my sister. I'm glad it was her, not me. She was 16. So, oh, you just don't do corporal punishment to a teenager at 16. I'll never forget the day. My father said, Sandy, we're going to the basement. I said, Mom, I'm leaving the house. I got in the car and I left. I did not want to hear what was going to take place. And I don't know what happened in that basement, but I know my father and my sister went at it. And I do believe my father got the upper hand. So when you look at it here, it's interesting. One who has a genuine affection for his child, one who has a genuine affection for his child, but withholds corporal punishment will produce the same kind of a child as a parent who hates his offspring. We need to teach a child on the way he or she should go, and there's only one way, and that's God's way. The way of life. Proverbs lays out God's way very clearly. An early training of a child secures lifelong habits, and therefore parents must insist upon teaching God's word and enforcing it with loving discipline consistently throughout the child's upbringing. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Find in verse 11, the proverb says, this is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. You think we're there yet, 21st century? The world we live in today, are we there yet at that proverb when you look at it in verse 11? There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. So when you think about it here, are we there yet? Total disregard for mom and dad. No respect for mother, no respect for father, no respect, no honor. Your life is so busy you take no time for mom and dad. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. This eye that mocks here, as this proverb is vividly speaks to the tragic results of disregarding parental respect and authority and the destruction that it brings. Ravens here, young eagles, these birds, what do? They scavenge the unburied corpse that dies maybe prematurely because of rebellion. And then the last one, Proverbs 31:1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And so here we find the concluding proverb, and this here, we see in these verses the wise king of Solomon, but we also see then the excellent wife that God has given. He says down in verse 10 there in Proverbs, and for the mother, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find, the Bible says, who can find in the land a virtuous woman? woman. You know what virtuous means here in the Bible? It means someone that conforms to moral and ethical principles, being morally excellent. That's what it means. It's what it means in the Bible. So as virtuous, so mothers and grandmothers today, from the Word of God, what God says to you and I through the Proverbs is who can find that morally, ethically sound mother. And what a thing today. If you're a mother today, maybe you want to just to say, you know, today, you know what? I'm going to recommit myself to be the best that I can be, to be morally excellent and to ethically do what is the right thing, to do the best in raising my children and having an influence on my grandchildren. So Mother's Day is a time to celebrate our mothers, but it's also a day to follow God's Word and the principles regarding our mothers. So there you have it in a quick nutshell. God talked about mothers. I only mentioned it 14 times in the Bible. I don't know about you, but I walked away with some powerful Bible nuggets that in the family unit in the home we can use as mothers, as fathers, as the family unit. Let's pray. Father God, today that's a